Thank you. Thank you always. Thank you. Such great music you provide for us. We are very blessed. And as Howard said, many of us have been blessed with fantastic women and a wonderful witness, and their faithfulness has been a blessing. But I want to lift up Howard, too.
Amen.
Is he walking around? Is he going to sit with you? I'm hopeful. Okay. All right. 3 o'clock this morning. He's in Miami. Yeah, he flew. You heard him say he had to fly to Michigan. And then the plane comes in, he's got to catch the trail. 3 o'clock, and look at this. This morning, here he is in worship, all right? And early, leading the choir, helping with all that stuff. And yet you'll hear people say, oh, I'm just too tired. Not him. You won't hear that from him. So I can't remember now if it was Way FM or Caleb. One of the Christian radio stations was telling me about a second grade teacher. And so she was. The lesson was about magnets, okay? And I don't know if you can remember, like in second grade, that was exciting stuff, you know, that she had the magnet, she showed them the magnet, and then the iron fillings and the paper clips and all of that, and how it, you know, could pick all that stuff. I mean, you know, the usual stuff. And so the class was excited. They were learning all this stuff. And so the next day, to help reinforce the lesson, she had written a question on the whiteboard. I am a six-letter word, begins with M, and I pick things up. What am I? 60% of her class said mother. It's Mother's Day, all right? Why are computers so smart? Because they listen to their motherboards, all right? All right? This kid goes up to mom, says, Mom, can I get $20? She goes, what do you think, I'm made out of money? He says, isn't that what M-O-M stands for? No, I mean, you know how it works, all right? When our kids were young, they were always going to Diana. Always. Mom, where's my sock? Mom, where's my brush? Mom, where's my notebook? You know, it just, every now and then, when they were desperate, they would come to me and they would say, Dad, where's Mom? They just, you know, it just, moms have that effect. They can have that effect. And I'm remembering, and I asked for permission to share this story. Andreas, a few years ago, and you know, in college things are difficult and lots of challenges, and the administration was changing the rules, you know, and all of a sudden this class is being canceled and this other class. Well, he's in a very specialized field, and you can't just you know, it's not English 101. You know, you've been waiting 6 months to be able to take this class, and then you're going to, you know, anyways, he was going through tons of frustrations with that, and exams, and doing the lab experiments, and doing all these other things, and nothing was working right. And he called Diana in the middle of the day and said, I just need a quiet, calming voice.
Amen.
The Lord is my shepherd.
Amen.
Many of you recite it every single day. It's just six verses. And you hear that phrase, and it becomes that quiet, calming voice. Like when an infant is crying and it's upset, and it gets in the lap of a parent. And you can almost feel the tension begin to leave. Almost feel how it becomes relaxed. Almost sense that this is a peaceful moment. You hear the 23rd Psalm. Everyone knows it. They are assured of God's presence, of God's comfort, of God's security, of God's provision. It's a blessing to them. You can go into a nursing home, visit with a patient who has long forgotten the name and faces of loved ones. And if you begin to recite the 23rd Psalm and say, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not, they will join you. They don't even know where they are. except for in the presence of God.
Amen.
There is a reason why this is the favorite psalm. This is the one people turn to. This is the one that when people are down, dirty, and desperate, and they need to be assured of God's love, need to be assured of God's care, they've got the 23rd psalm. The image of God as a shepherd runs throughout the Scriptures. In the Gospel of John, Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd," which means then that we're the sheep. Now, from a distance, sheep are white and fluffy and look all right, okay? From a distance. Sheep up close. You ever been with sheep? Not so much. They smell. They're dirty. They're matted. They're tangled. And they're dumb. Are you catching the resemblance? We are the sheep. That's us. Yeah. We're the sheep. And yet the shepherd still cares for the sheep, even though they're dirty, tangled, matted mess. God cares for us, even though we're a dirty, tangled mess. God cares for us, continues to care for us. We like this psalm because it reminds us that God loves us, that God cares for us. Mickey Evans used to talk about this. He ran the Dunklin Memorial Camp recovery for people struggling with substance abuse. And he also spoke at Emmaus events, which was about spiritual renewal. And he would talk about how people would say, "I found God." And he would say, "You found God. God wasn't lost." They would say stuff like, "I found God at Dunklin. I found God at Emmaus." And he said, "Yeah, you found God after he ran you down, chased you down, threw you down, and stood on your neck. You looked up and said, 'Oh, God.'" Now, I mention that because in the sixth verse of the psalm, it says, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life." But in Hebrew, that word that we translate as follow, okay, is radaf. That's the Hebrew word. And follow is not a good translation. A better translation is pursues, chases, runs after. It's great that we think about God's grace as being amazing grace, but there aren't too many songs that say anything about God's aggressive grace. We think of God's grace as being benevolent and kind and gentle, but it's also persistent. It's kind of like the woman who adopted the three kittens from the shelter. And they were just always under her foot. It was like the holy trinity of meows just going on and on and on. And she named them Shirley, Goodness, and Mercy because they were always just around her and underfoot. They were always, always there. Do you remember the book, The Runaway Bunny? Remember this book? You ever read this book? It's about the little bunny who decides he wants to run away. And his mom doesn't stop him. His mom doesn't stop him. But she doesn't leave him either. Remember how that goes? "I'm going to run away. If you run away, I'm going to run after you because you're my little bunny." And then what does he say? "Well, if you run after me, I'm going to become a fish in a trout stream. And I will swim away. If you become a fish in a trout stream, then I will become a fisherman and I will fish for you. Well, if you become a fisherman and fish for me, I will become a rock high up in the mountains. If you become a rock high up in the mountains, I will be a mountain climber and I will climb to where you are. If you become a rock high up in the mountains, then I will become a crocus in a hidden garden. If you become a crocus in a hidden garden, I will become a gardener and I will find you." And on and on and on it goes. Scenario, page after page, until finally it dawns on the little bunny. "Well, shucks. Well, I guess I'll just stay here." And so he did. God's grace is persistent. God's grace refuses to let us go. God's grace does pursue us. God's grace does chase after us. God is never, ever going to let us go. He pursues us. He chases us to provide safety, not judgment, to provide acceptance and understanding, not condemnation. He provides safety and security and provisions. Do you remember the movie, the Disney movie Toy Story? Yeah. All right, remember Woody? Remember Woody? He's the toy cowboy. He's the one unofficially in charge of all the toys. And then Buzz Lightyear, the new toy, arrives. But Buzz doesn't think he's a toy. Buzz thinks he's a space ranger. And it's just driving everyone nuts because he's just got it in his head that he's this space ranger. And finally, Woody confronts him with the truth and says, "You are not a space ranger. You are not a superhero. You are an action figure. You are a child's plaything." But Buzz Lightyear is still in denial. And he doesn't believe it for a moment. But later in the movie, when the harsh reality of truth comes literally crashing down on Buzz, and he discovers and admits and confesses, "I am just an insignificant child's toy. I'm not a space ranger. I'm not a superhero. I'm just an insignificant toy." And Woody comes to him again, and not to confront, but to comfort. And he says, "There's a kid who thinks you're the greatest. And it's not because you're a space ranger. It's because you're his." And Buzz looks at the bottom of his shoe, and there, written in permanent black marker, the name Andy, the name of the kid he belongs to. And it makes all the difference. And the same is true for us. God loves us not because we're a space ranger, superhero, action figure. God does not love us for our accomplishments or for what we can do. God loves us because we belong to God. The name of Jesus is not written on the bottom of your shoe, but it is written in your heart. The moment of your birth, God wrote it there, so that the whole world might know who you belong to. You belong to God. God refuses to let us go. That's what it means to be told that we are the sheep of God's pasture. It means we belong to God. God never lets go. God never gives up. See, it's not just amazing grace. It's aggressive grace, because God refuses to let anything, not sin, not death, not circumstances, not situations, not our pride, not our stupid choices, not our own foolishness, not our stubbornness. God refuses to let anything separate us from God's love, because we belong to God. Amen.
Amen. Amen.